First Peter chapter 4. Let's read verses 10 and 11 in chapter 4 here. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Now, gifts. Gifts are forgiven. Let me say it more plainly instead of the hick talk. Gifts are forgiving. Everything we read there in those verses, it speaks about every man hath received the gift. Now, I believe that God gives all of us something. He don't give us all the same thing. That's the trouble we have. We want what somebody else has got, and we want to be able to do what they do. We try to mimic other people instead of just being what God made us to be and using the talents, the gifts, the abilities, the means, whatever God has given us to use. That's the thing we struggle with. We don't want to use that. We think that's for us. And we want to do something else to help other people. When all God's equipped each one of us, I think, as every man hath received the gift. When modern Christian people, so-called, think of gifts, they think of tongues, and they think of healing, and they think of stuff like that. That's not it at all. Gifts are forgiving. Gifts are anything that we're endowed with that can be used to contribute to the welfare of others or to do them good. Now, that's what gifts are. Thought about this. You can take anything that people's got, talents, singing, whatever. And it's all for, the purpose of it is, the reason God gave it to you, what it's supposed to be used for is to help other people, to minister to other people, to help them. That'll do them some good. Minister, the verb, means to afford supplies, to give things needful, to supply the means of relief, to relieve. That's what the word minister means. There to serve. You're there to help. You're there to meet needs. You're there to ease the burden of other people. And that's what gifts are for. Everyone receives gifts from God for this purpose. No one is left out. It says, as every man hath received the gift. So everybody here tonight, everybody has something that you can do, something you have, some ability, some gift that you can do to help other people, to encourage other people, to be a blessing to other people. God has made sure that everybody's got something that they can use, they can give, they can do. God doesn't give any one of us all that we need. We're all incomplete. We need one another. I got something you need. You got something I need. We all got something that somebody else needs, and somebody else has got something that we need. And we're supposed to minister one to another with these things. He gives it to others who are supposed to give it to us. See, that's where it comes from. He don't just give us all of everything we need. He gives it to somebody else so they can give it to us. Likewise, God gives each of us things that are not for us, but He expects us to use them for the benefit of others. Do we just consume everything God gives us upon ourselves? Wow, God gave it all to me. Yippee. No, God gives it to us so that we can hand it to somebody else. I mentioned a preacher this morning. I heard him preach one sermon that was right. I mean, I heard him say more than that that was right. But one time, he was really right. He had a thing he called the wordless sermon, a sermon with no words. And he would do like this. He'd reach up and he'd get something. And he'd take it and give it to somebody else. And then he'd go back and get something else. And he'd take it and give it to somebody else. Finally, he got something and he put it in his own pocket. And then he reached up again and he didn't get nothing else. So right. That's true. That's right. That's what I'm saying to you tonight. That's what we're talking about. These verses, I think, is what it means. He gives different gifts to each of us, and we're to use them to help other people. He spreads the things we all need around among us, and we're supposed to share with one another so that everybody has what they need. Now, that's the way the first church, the early church, when the church started, that's the way they did. All of them, having houses and lands, sold them and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And they distributed as every man had need. Now, it sounds like socialism, but that's not what it is. The church is not socialism. In the first place, it's based on love. Socialism is not. It's based on honoring God and serving God and obeying God. And socialism certainly isn't that either. It's based on love and compassion and benevolence. And it's voluntary. Not compulsory like socialism is. See, I'm telling you this is what we're supposed to do, but I can't make you do it. We can't make it a requirement of the church that everybody has to give so much or a certain percentage of their income or, you know, whatever. You do what you, every man gives freely, you know, according to his own heart. But God expects us to give to one another. To look for the needs, to look for the things that are lacking in other people and do what we can. Now, there's things that I can't do for you, somebody else can. One person in the church is not responsible for everybody. It works that way all the way around. None of us are responsible for everybody else. We all have a little bit we can add. Just a little something we can throw in too. A little something we can do. God, that He doesn't give us gifts to people. You know, He doesn't give gifts to people to make them proud or set them above other people. He don't give you a gift of a good ability to sing so that you can lift yourself up and be praised and honored and worshiped because you can sing good. That ain't what He gives it to you for. And, you know, I mean, listen, where do these country music people and others, even rock singers, where do they get big part of their singers? The church. Out of the churches. Sure. Yep, they sure do. I could just name them off to you here, going and coming, and you could too. Some of these big old stars and famous people. God didn't give them that gift for that. They've stolen it and used it for their own greedy, selfish purposes. And they've used it to corrupt other people instead of bless other people and help other people. And they're going to face the judgment of God for it. Any gift that's from God is to be used to minister to the needs of other people. That's what we read here in this verse. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You can sing, you can play an instrument, you can knit a pair of socks, you know, whatever you can do, whatever gifts God's given you, it ought to be used for God's honor. And the way you honor God is being a blessing to other people. You use it some way to honor God. It's not for all these other things. Now, whatever we have that can be used to help others, we're to consider it God's and not ours. That gift you've got, it belongs to God, not you. It's God who gave it. See? And it's really his. How could we consider it ours? I mean, I preached here a while back on what hast thou that thou hast not received? What do you think you have, own, possess? Anything in you, anything you got, what have you got that wasn't given to you? Your very life was given to you. God gives us everything, every good gift. Where does it come from? From up above, from the Father of lights. It cometh down from the Father of lights. Oh, yeah. So, it's not ours. We ought to not consider it ours. We ought to count it a blessing of God. I've heard Seth say it, you know, about the carving thing. He feels like God gave that to him, but God could take it away at any time. That's true. That's just how we ought to feel about everything that we're able to do. Everything that we have. Some people got a lot of money. And, you know, if they're right with God, they'll be generous with their money. But they also will be aware that if they're right with God, that it came and it could go as easily as it came. And they could be broke tomorrow. A lot of people have. They've been rich one day and poor the next. Broke. Whether, you know, whatever we have that can be used to help others, we're to consider it God's and not ours, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, that proves that it's God's, not ours. We're stewards of what we have. We're stewards of what we're able to do. The ability to do things is something that we're a steward of. God intends to do all people good, but he's chosen to do it through us. You see, we're his body. We're his hands and his feet, and we're his mouthpiece here on earth in that respect. Jesus is not going to talk to you audibly tonight, but I can. And we can talk to one another, and we can talk to sinners that are lost. And that's the way God means for it to be, and that's the way he does it now. He intends to do everybody good, but he uses people like us to do it, because that's a much wiser way, and it brings forth much more blessing. It makes us love and appreciate one another much more. People, they were together and they had all things common. I mean, they were close. That's why the church in the early days turned the world upside down. Nothing mattered except the gospel, the word of God, the truth, and one another. They looked out for one another. Made sure everybody had what they had to have, what they needed. Nobody hoarded it up for themselves. Real salvation will cure you of that. It'll make you a giver. God's a giver. You be like him, you're going to be a giver. Not just a taker. We're only caretakers of the gift. It belongs to God, not to us. We're responsible for what we do with it. And we'll give account to God for what we do with it. You know, Jesus told the parable of the talents. And it's funny that word was used. I mean, we understand it to mean money. 5 talents, 2 talents, 10 talents, and 5, you know, whatever it was. But it was a different amount, different value we consider. But talent, we're responsible for what we do with what God has given us. And we're going to give account for it. If we only consume it upon ourselves, then God, he entrusted it to us to meet the needs of somebody else, and we consume it upon ourselves, we'll be guilty before God of stealing. We took something that wasn't ours and consumed it and claimed it and consumed it upon ourselves. We're going to be responsible to God for that. God gave it to you to give to somebody else, to help somebody else with. Didn't give it to you for you. God don't give gifts for us. He gives us gifts so we can give. Gifts are for giving. That's what they're for. If we have any means of helping someone, we should look for the opportunity. We should look for the opportunity. We shouldn't have to be coaxed, kicked, bribed, forced into it. You know, if you can sing and it blesses people, you ought to be willing to sing.
Right.
Whether you have a great big audience or some old person laying in a bed in a nursing home, you ought to be willing to sing because it'd be a blessing to them. I saw a deal here a few weeks ago. Boy, it reminded me of Brother Earl. The old man looked like him. And he's in a nursing home, all withered up. And there was this young girl, I guess some kin folks or something, but she was singing. Didn't have any accompaniment or nothing, but she was just singing this old hymn to him. And he was just praising God and had his hands in the air, and he was really getting blessed. Well, God gave her a gift. That's why he gave her that gift. For an old man laying in a nursing home, pining away. Life over, except for just suffering. And just a song, man. And somebody take the time to do it for him. See, that's the way God means for it to be. Gifts are for that. What do the gifts of God that he gives us to minister with, what do they look like? Well, some are obvious. Most people tend to think of a gift like a talent, like music or some unique ability to do something that most people can't do. I keep talking about singing. See, that's the way we think. But there's much more than that. The ability to play music or sing is a gift, and it's given to us to use to bless others. But a lot of people can play and sing who do not even know the Lord at all. So what about that? God's gifts are far more manifold than that. That means, manifold means many different. I mean, many different ways, many different forms, a lot of different kinds and a lot of multiplied forms of gifts that God gives. I don't know if there's even any limit to it. Anything we can do or give is a gift. And boy, it can be the most insignificant. It can seem to be the most insignificant thing. We just don't really get a hold of the fact that, boy, we just don't have to do very much at all for it to be a blessing to somebody else. Just a word of encouragement. Just a word sometimes. Sometimes just the fact that you would speak to them has a great effect on them. The woman at the well was astonished that Jesus would even speak to her. You'd be surprised how many people out here or that way. I can't believe you'd even talk to him. Since like I was telling you about your uncle last week, you know. Why would you even want to talk to me? See, but you can, there's just so many things that are just so, you might think them insignificant, but they're not. Just giving a good word of encouragement to somebody. Surely we can all do that. Why in the world couldn't we do that? Why in the world can't we find something good to say to somebody? Shouldn't be that hard for us. People we go to church with, they need that. People in the hospital or a nursing home, they need it. People in the prison need it. I've thought about that quite a bit. You know, I don't know how we'd be able to go about it. But I've always, man, going into jails, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. You get to talk to people that'll listen to you. It ain't like you think. It ain't nothing like you think. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me. These little things, he said, I'm going to read that at the end here, but it just seems like little things, but it's not. There's gifts that people give. You know, I know a lot of people can't do stuff like that. I remember years ago, you know, I would do anything back then, but I went to the jail every week, and they just locked me in there with them for hours. Sometimes they would leave downstairs, the sheriff and them leave, and we still up there. But, you know, we had to bang the door on the cell to get them to come up and let us out. But there was other guys in the church, like, you know, one in the church there. He would do anything but do that. No, no. He wouldn't do anything either, but he didn't want to do that. And, you know, some people just can't. We went preaching on the street in Houston, Texas one time, right down in the ghetto part of town, homeless people laying all over the sidewalk and drunks. And I took them two boys with me down there, you know, Eric Fears John Boer. And, of course, both of them said they was going to be, you know, God called them to preach. But when we got down there, they said, "No, we ain't preaching, uh-uh." I said, all right. But after two or three of the rest of us preached, they come up to me and said, "Hey, I want to preach. I just got to." You know, when they got into it, you know, God just, they seen the reaction of the people. Ain't like you think. You'd think they'd run you off. No. They're amazed that anybody would take time to even talk to them. That you'd care about them. But not everybody can do that kind of stuff. I understand that. God didn't put us all in the same mold. He didn't make us all to do the same things. He gives to every man severally, as he will, gifts for us to minister to others with. Some people can do that. That's their thing. I know several men and have through the years that's all they do. Street preaching. I can do it. I used to could. But I really, you know, it just ain't really my thing. That ain't what I want to do all the time. It's a blessing when you do it. And I like to go with other people when they do it too. It wasn't such a pleasant experience when we did it on the mall in Washington. The police escorted us out of there. And we was legal. But didn't make no difference. We got put out anyway. But a few people heard. A bunch of people got tracks. Some of them throwed them in the trash can. That's 30 years ago. I don't know what it'd be now. Not everybody's cut out for that. I understand that. I don't try to force people to do things that they're not comfortable with. If God hasn't given them that ability, that desire there, as long as they got something else to do. You know, now if they just sit on a pew and they won't never do nothing, that's a different thing. Well, y'all understand that. People are in prison. People who are confined at home because of sickness or disability or old age. There's just people everywhere holed up in houses. They can't never get out. They don't have any place. Ain't no way to go. And they just sit there, live out their lives, and they die. And a lot of them not even having funerals now. It's the most common thing now. They don't even have a funeral. Nothing. That's it. They just died, and that's it. Giving counsel and advice from our own experience and from our knowledge of the Word of God. That's a gift. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that in a way that it really helps people. Some people can counsel and give advice to other people. And some people just can't. They come across as arrogant and bossy and it's not received well because of the way. God gives you a gift for that. To young people who are starting out in life so they don't make blunders that'll cost them and cause them grief in the future. Some people have an ability to deal with young people and help them with that. Some people don't. To young Christians who are just starting out and struggling to understand the ways of God and the inconsistent ways of others. That's a problem for people that are just getting started out in the Christian life. They need to understand the ways of God. Then they got this problem with all the people who say they're people of God and they won't walk in a straight line. Meeting physical needs, helping to obtain the things that others need but cannot provide for themselves. Boy, I'm thankful for people that God has blessed with money and that are willing to help the work of God. Yes, yes. We've been helped a bunch here by people like that. Yep. People we don't even know. that have sent us pretty large sums of money every time, just right when we needed it. And that's a real blessing to me, because that tells me God's involved in it. We don't send out letters and beg, and we don't tell people what all our needs are. And then when I was a missionary, that's what the preachers told me, different ones, said, you need to tell people what you need. So how else are they going to know what you need? And I said, well, I thought the way this thing worked was we prayed and told God, and God told them. And I thought that's the way this thing's supposed to work. If I insert myself in the middle and I go to on these fundraising kicks, then we've left God completely out. And so that's why that it's always a blessing to me when we're up again it and go down there and there's a check in the mail. From somebody who God gave a gift, and they understand that it's forgiven. Yes. It wasn't for them. They could have took that money and did something for themselves. What could some of these people have bought with all the thousands of dollars they've given us? Well, they could have bought them a new living room suit. They could have bought put in a swimming pool. They could have done a lot of things. You say, well, I probably got no money to do that to. Well, that's this entitled generation kind of thinking. No, it's their money. And they've worked for it, and God's blessed them, and they're generous enough to help other people. And care enough about the work of God and the people of God to put their money where they believe the truth is being preached. Well, bless the Lord. I'm thankful for people that know how to use their gifts and who will listen to God when He tells them what to do. Lending a helping hand to ease the load of labor somebody else has to bear. Meeting physical needs, I'm talking about. Helping to obtain the things that others need that they can't provide for themselves. Lending a helping hand to ease the load of somebody else that has to bear. You know, who can't do that? Well, there's some people can't. I mean, they can't hardly take care of themselves, but lots of people, most people can. If they would, they could sacrifice a little time and put forth a little effort to take a little bit of the load off of somebody else. And that's what we're supposed to do. Caring for the sick and helping them obtain what they need to get better. In any way, just lifting the load for someone. Meeting physical needs is just lifting the load for them as much as we can. That's a gift that God enables us to do. Encouraging and strengthening others in the Word of God and their faith in Christ. That's probably the most important thing that we do. And it'll matter the most when we stand in the judgment before God. How we've done and what we've done to help other people, to edify other people, or to hinder them. I mean, did we help or did we hinder other people in becoming what God wanted them to be? That's a serious question to ponder. Am I a plus or a negative, my life? Did I add anything? Or did I take away? Are people around me better off because I'm here? And I'm talking about more spiritual minded, more knowledgeable about God, have a closer walk with God because of me, or are they worse off? Did we help or hinder other people? What was our influence? Was it good or was it bad? Did it benefit or was it detrimental to other people? A lot of people think they're a blessing and they're a detriment. They take away. They discourage. They cause people to fall out of the way with their, a lot of things I could say right there. But anyway, did we share what God taught us in the trials and valleys of our life? Did we share it? It's where you get stuff while you're in trouble. In the hard times of life, that's where God reaches down and gives you things. Did you hand them off to somebody else? We should all be ready to both give and to receive gifts from one another. Now, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, said the Lord Jesus. And receiving is really harder. I mean, if your heart's right and everything, and you got the right spirit about you, receiving is harder than giving. I just don't want to take nothing. There's just other people who need it more. Everybody will feel that way when they're right, I think. I don't think you'll be one that, like some of these preachers Gary's told about in Sunday school and stuff. I ain't going to talk negative. I'm going to try to stay on the positive here. But, there's a reason that a lot of these preachers are called hirelings. There's a reason why that word's in the Bible. There's a reason why he talks about filthy lucre and being, and that's a, you can't be after the filthy lucre and be a pastor. Not a God's pastor, you can't. Can't serve God and mammon. Can't be interested in that above everything else. I mean, a man that has to have a certain amount to come to preach for you? No. A man that has to have all of these perks and a certain salary and all of the benefits, and he names all of his demands like a union job or something before he'll come pastor a church. What a bunch of nonsense, ungodly nonsense. They asked me when they ordained me to preach, they said, if we won't ordain you, will you still preach? And I said, yes. If they said, we'll never pay you to preach, will you preach? And I'd say, yes. Boy, I ain't never got paid much for preaching. I don't know. It's kind of like the cat deal, they was talking about today. There's a pet store, Maddie was telling us, that it'll pay you to take cats from them. I said, see, that's how much they're worth. Man. And that's the way it is with some preachers. They have to pay to get a preach somewhere. But I guess that's the way it is with me. But anyway, we should be ready to both give and receive gifts from one another. None of us know everything. None of us have everything. None of us can do everything. We all need help, and that help is to come from others. And that's hard for some of us to do too. To just let somebody else drive. It's kind of like your kids, It's just kind of hard to get in on the passenger side and say, you drive. When they're 16 to 22 years old, say. Is that right? You're over 22, ain't you, Elizabeth? Yeah. Well, it's true. Y'all will face it one of these days, too, if the world stands. Yeah. You'll watch these kids all these years, and you'll think, they ain't got enough sense to drive a car. What in the world am I going to do? But you're going to have to overcome yourself, and you're going to have to just, okay. And that's the way we got to do with this matter, too. Yes. We've got to learn to receive. Receive the counsel, receive the helping hand, receive the help to alleviate some of the burden, physical burden, and all of that. We'll let somebody sing to us, but we won't let somebody help us. We'll let them play a good tune on an instrument for us. We like that stuff, but boy, it's hard to let them advise us about some things and take counsel from them. None of us are responsible for all the needs of anyone or everyone. None of us are responsible for everyone None of us are responsible for anyone except our immediate family. I mean, but we are responsible to do what we can with what we have, where we are. And you know what I've found out about life and people? I've found out that the most generous people, the most giving people, are always, without exception, the poorest people. The ones that don't have, that have the least to give, they'll be the first to give. It's in the Bible, the woman with the two mites, she gave it all. Jesus said she gave more than everybody else because she gave all that she had. And she did it with a right heart. God loveth a cheerful giver. Some preacher said, but he'll take it from any old grouch. Now, I don't believe that. God loves a cheerful giver. Give and it shall what? Be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? That's what the verse says. Where's it going to come from? Heaven? No, it's going to come right out of somebody else's hand. To you. Our habit of life should be to always look for an opportunity to help, to give, to do something, to minister to somebody else. Well, people get discouraged with the burdens of life and not being able to. Everybody struggles just making a living. That's right. Just week to week. And boy, just a little help once in a while sure does make life. It just takes the burden off so much. I mean, it just relieves the burden. Let me read you these scriptures here and we'll be done. It's Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 33 through 40. It's a little bit of what I quoted a little bit of a while ago. Jesus is talking about the end here. And he says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king, with a capital K, say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and you gave me meat. You know, Baptists are so death on works, but that's what he's speaking of right here. He said, come on into the kingdom prepared for you. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For, because. Why is this happening? Well, I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? they don't even realize they did anything. They're not bragging. The other crowd's saying, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? But the righteous are saying, what did we do? What are you talking about? When did we do this? And he said to them, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, as whatever you do as unto the Lord. When we give a cup of cold water in his name, we're doing it as unto the Lord. When we give to somebody else, we're really given to the Lord. Bible said in the Old Testament, he that giveth to the poor, he that hath pity on the poor, lendeth to the Lord. Look at it that way and you can loan a lot better. Well, I'll loan you this money, but now you pay me back. And then they don't pay you back. And you hold it against them for the rest of your life. No, when it leaves your hand and goes into their hand, just consider it as unto the Lord. He will repay, it says. The rest of that verse says, he that lendeth to the Lord, and he will repay. Yep. You trust the Lord?
Absolutely.
Somebody steal from you, God considers it they stole from him. You're his. What you got, he gave you. What do you have that you haven't received? God gave it to you. And somebody else stole it? Oh, they're in trouble. They're in more trouble than you can put them in. Amen. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. That old boy got us for, what, $700 and some worth of lumber here a while back. Stole it. I mean, he just a thief. That's all. I pity his soul. Because he's going to pay much. It'd been way far better and easier for him to just pay for that lumber like he's supposed to. Ain't no need of me worrying about extracting it from him. I pity him. God take care of me. He always does. God ain't going to let no thief destroy me. He won't let no thief destroy you. Oh, well. That's it. God gives gifts so that we can give. And we need to learn to do both. We need to learn to give, and we need to learn to receive. We need to realize that that's the way this thing works. And we need to quit living selfishly in every area of our life. What are you going to take out of this world anyway? You got any kind of gift you're going to take with you? Nope. You got any money you're going to take with you? No, somebody will have your stuff and your land and they'll, for your cold. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Yep. It's of the world. And the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you just got to make up your mind if you're God's or not, and then live that way. If you're going to be God's, you're going to have to be a giver and a forgiver, and you're going to have to be a minister and a helper to other people, and you're going to have to live that way and look for those opportunities every day. You quit having pity parties. Yep. You quit being filled with anger and hatred. You will. You'll have peace and joy. And life will be good for you. Who do you think the happiest people are? The givers. Yes, sir. Amen. I've heard it all through the years. You can't outgive God. No, you can't. Now, you can't do it for selfish purposes. You can't say, well, I'm going to start giving so God will give me more. No. We're a channel. We're stewards of these things. We're stewards of our body and all the knowledge that God's given us. We're just stewards of it. Better manage it well. Better do it right. Amen. May I stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, what a blessing to just have some understanding about how things work, how it's supposed to work, the way you mean for them to work. Lord, we just listen and learn and be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You sure have given us a lot. Sure have bestowed upon us a lot of gifts here in our little bitty crown. My, when I start thinking about what all is at work and operating here among us, it's a miracle, really. It's obvious that you're among us and that you're working. Help us, Lord, not to throw it away. Help us to realize our opportunity here and that we won't waste it. Lord, help us. Please go with us now and help us now to get home safely tonight. Live this week for you. Be a blessing to somebody else. And look for that opportunity. Please watch over us on the roads and in our jobs and safe, keep us safe, Lord. Work in the hearts of these young people and these kids. And please help them, Lord, to grow up loving you, knowing you, and serving you forever. Lord, love you. Thank you for a good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.